Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Somebody say good morning.
Good morning.
Such a good morning. So warm out. I mean, you just got to speak those things that do not exist as though they do, huh? Amen. How many days left till spring? Too many days. I don't know. I hope it comes soon. Amen. Hey, I want to dig right into, thank you, brother. Excuse me just for a second. I want to dig right into today's talk. Love this Invisible War series, digging in on how to experience victory in your head, in your heart, and in your home. And we are in the head right now, just looking at ways to continue victory, how to attain and keep a victorious mind. And so I want to launch off of a scripture here in today's talk. It's one verse. And if you got your Bibles, you're really not going to be able to read them in this light. However, if you're following along on the message, though, on the app, we got the verse for you on the screen. Here we go. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. I'm reading out of the ESV. And it says this: "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him.'" Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the truth that sits underneath your word. And God, the other scriptures we're going to get to dive into here in today's talk, I pray the truth behind it all, Lord, would just come to life in our lives. Guide my mind, guide my words, Lord, as I strive to be simply an echo of what you are saying to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, take a look at this video. Good morning, staff.
Good morning.
It is so good to see you here. I believe there is a, like, whoa.
Tim!
Yeah, they're saying there's somebody missing. Tim is late as usual.
Just getting back from the gym. Sure. So.
As my pastor used to say to me, even when I would show up a minute late, good afternoon. So I just want to say that. Thanks for being on time as usual. Amen. Hey guys, before we kind of dig in, welcome, it's Monday morning. Before we kind of dig in to review what God did in the service this weekend, and before we preview what we got to do this week and what God's going to be doing at Journey Church next week, you know, like we dig into a devotional here. And this is a devotional by a guy named Brian Craig Larson. Absolutely love this devotional for us as leaders here. He says here in this devotional, he goes, "I used to compete in gymnastics in all six men's events." I didn't even know there were more than two. But he says, "In my earliest days on the still rings." What's a still ring? I don't even know what a still ring is. I don't know. Anyway, he says, though, he was on those rings, right? And he says he was learning a move. You used to do that, right, as a profession? Yeah, you look like you did. And he says that he was learning a move that involves swinging as fast as possible through the bottom and continuing right up into a handstand. Did you kind of get what he was saying there? He says, "At first I couldn't even get up into a shoulder stand, much less a handstand, to help me get a feel for the move. So my coach stood alongside me, and as I swung through the bottom," he says that he put his hand on my back and pushed hard. "Suddenly," he says, "I flew into a handstand. With my coach's hand on me, I performed a move I could never do otherwise." Man, it reminds me of that scripture, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 11, that says, "The Lord spoke to me," this is Isaiah saying, "The Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me." And I get like this amazing word picture, like this vivid word picture about Isaiah, you know, like especially in those still rings context of like Isaiah doing what he does with God's hand on him that he couldn't do otherwise. You know, with God's hand on Isaiah, you know, who's like a messenger, a prophet, right? He writes, he decrees these things. Like Isaiah did things he could probably never do though. But without the hand of God, like Isaiah probably just wrote great poetry. I mean, it was probably just wonderful poetry. But with the hand of God, Isaiah wrote lines such as, you know, he was pierced for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. This devotional says there's great temptation in our work for God to simply just rely on ourselves. You know, most leaders have some degree of what seems like natural strengths, speaking or organizational ability, physical attractiveness. You know, I understand those things, especially that one right there. Or winsome personality, like Danny. He just always makes us laugh. Look at him, he's so winsome. You know, the danger in that, though, is that we end up relying on ourselves rather than on the hand of the Lord. That we become content to go without God's presence. And I love what Craig says here in this statement. He goes, the true test of our attitude is in our actions. If we minister without praying, without seeking God's presence and help, then no matter what we say to the contrary, deep down, we think we can get by without God's hand upon us. On the other hand, whatever our abilities, we all know as leaders what it's like to be in way over our heads. I think all of us understand what it is, especially in the demands of Journey Church, to just drown in the responsibilities that we all have. And we know that without God's help, it's very possible we can be in big trouble. And it's at those times where we need to rely on the hand of the Lord who is always with us. And in this particular devotional, Craig says, in gymnastics, a coach's helping hand is temporary. Not so with God. God wants leaders to do everything with him because leaders can do nothing of kingdom value on their own. God wants us to do everything with his strong hand on us as leaders here at Journey Church. So never be content to lead others without God's presence, not only for your own spiritual welfare, but the spiritual welfare of others depend on it. And the reflection question that Craig Brian Larson has here, and this is a question I want to ask you guys as staff here, how are you doing in your relationship with God? Are you relying on his presence every day? What you just witnessed right here is what we do every week, thank you guys, at Journey Church as a staff. It's how we begin our Monday morning right at the start of our day. This is how we start our week. And then I take the opportunity 2 days later every Wednesday to meet with each staff member individually, and I follow up to those same questions. You know, this right here unlocks another incredible key as we're talking about the mind on how to attain and keep a victorious mind. And are you ready? Number four, are you ready? All right, me and one person, here we go. Are you ready? Tone Loke, are you ready? He's not ready.
Let's do it.
Oh, he is ready. All right. I mean, no, it's good to have Tone Loke in the house today. Amen. Here it is, number four. In order to attain and keep a victorious mind, creating a faith community around you. Creating a faith community around you. You know, many times the best remedy for victory in our minds is found when we have supportive people around us, challenging us, encouraging us in our Christianity, pushing us in love, in our walk after God, people that are there to be a strength when I have a struggle. I want to tell you something today, Journey Church. God did not create you to live life alone. You know the scripture we just read at the beginning of this talk, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, right? God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'm going to make a helper fit for him. Is a scripture that is often used, as it should be, in a marriage context. You know, I've used it at nearly every wedding ceremony I have the honor to be a part of. However, there is something deeper to this scripture in the context of its meaning that allows us to see it even beyond a marital setting, and it's this: two are better than one. That right there is a direct quote out of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 that says, two are better than one. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says, the only way a piece of iron can be sharpened is through another piece of iron. That's how we are supposed to be to each other. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, we need to be there for each other consistently, encouraging each other, building each other up. So I want to ask you a question individually. What support system do you have around your life and around your faith right now in your life? What support system do you have around your life? You know, because we talked about it last week, the need to keep our beats on, right? Because when we are heading to our dream, when we are heading to that place of purpose that we know God is calling us to do, how many know there's a lot of haters out there? There's a lot of challenges out there. There are a lot of circumstances and opinions out there that will scream, you can't do it, so just stay connected to your limitations. But how many know part of keeping the beats on and turning the noise down to the haters, part of keeping the beats down is found in the supporters that are around you? Because there are haters, but how many know there are also supporters out there that are cheering you on to God's will in your life, saying you can do this, come on, keep going, keep your eyes on Jesus, you can make it. Do you have a community of faith regularly standing around your life? You know, you may be thinking, well, that's easy for you to say, preacher man. Because I don't have the luxury of having a staff meeting on Monday morning. I can't even imagine my boss coming into the workplace saying, okay, everybody gather around the table. We're going to open to the book of Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to say how you can make a great, great day today by the glory of God. I mean, I can't even imagine my workplace being like that. My goodness. Listen, I totally understand that point. But what I want to do is show you something that you perhaps may not know, and it's this. You actually have several of these around your life every week. You may not just be tapping into them. Because I'm approached quite regularly, actually, on the subject of people asking me, how can I fit in? How can I tap into the community? How can I create a community of faith around my life? How can I build that support system of people around my life? Where do I start? And every time my response is this: God calls us, God commands us to find people that have a love for God in their heart, and then after we find them, connect with them regularly. He commands us to do that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, man, we need to find ways. We need to consider ways on how we can stir each other up, man, each other up to good works and to love and not neglect to meet together. Paul is saying here, as is the habit of some. I mean, Paul's seeing a trend here, who we believe to be the author of Hebrews. Paul is seeing a trend here in a lot of the Jews in the church that are just saying, I don't have the time. No, I'm too busy on that day. I just got too much going on in my life. I just can't meet. And Paul's saying we can't do that. We need to be meeting together all the more, even as you see the day approaching. In other words, you see God starting to wrap up time, man. We need to get together with each other regularly. Why? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says, man, we are the body of Christ. The body of Christ, body parts connected in with each other. How many know we say this all the time at Journey Church? There is pain in disconnect. You ever had a shoulder dislocated? There's pain in that because your shoulder isn't made to be out of the socket. It's made to be in it. And when we are together, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says that we need to commit to each other with brotherly affection. The context of that scripture actually means like brothers commit to each other. That's how we need to be committing to each other as believers in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness?" I really believe the underlying meaning of that scripture that Paul's trying to tell the Corinthian church is make sure that you are connecting, yoking yourself together with people of faith. Because you need that community of faith around your life. And I'm here to tell you, friends, it can happen in your life. There are several opportunities for this to happen in your life, for these scriptures to be lived out in your life. Let me just give you some practical aspects of, or some practical ways to make that happen in your life. Small groups. That's why we have fusion groups here at Journey Church, to place people in a smaller capacity, right, around your life, to be a support for the faith that is in your heart and keep you going. I love looking at Facebook and seeing all the pictures that people put of the small groups. Man, people take pictures of the small groups that are happening. I saw our Wentzville campus just this past week. Man, they put a picture of there was 14 people crammed into this house. And I just saw these people just connecting with each other, spurring each other on, saying you can make it, continue to head toward your dreams. Small groups is so important, friends. Serving here at Journey Church is another way. I've always said it, serving is the best way to make this church feel like home, because you're able to serve alongside other people. I've watched people come in here disconnected, not knowing anybody, but then sign up to serve in an area, and they get to know each other. I've even seen some romance start to happen with people getting a part of it. People are getting engaged and going to be married. I think I need to be getting paid for some of that stuff. Amen. I think that's really good stuff, to see people connect. We've even seen guys, man, sign up for our parking posse and see other men in our parking posse, and they stand together and they rise together, man. They help each other out in their walk after God. Serving's a way. Connecting with others at church services or church events that we hold here in this church. Daniel Baster, right? The guy who authored the song Like a Lion. He came to this church and he said, you know, I just want to tell you something that sticks out about Journey Church that I rarely don't ever see in any church that I ever go to is you are just as loud before the service and after the service as you are during the service. You guys love fellowship. You guys love talking to each other. I'm telling you, man, we got to try and get you into the service when the service starts, because you all just love to connect with each other, talk to each other. Man, go out to that cafe. Talk to people. Let people come and talk to you. We love to connect with each other. Come early and come and see what God can do in your life through relationships. Back to the church staff meeting analogy. This can even happen at your work. Because like I said, find people of faith. It may not be somebody that attends Journey Church that goes to your work, but they're believers at your work more than likely. Find them. Maybe a Presbyterian brother, or a Catholic sister, or a Lutheran person, or a Methodist person, or a Pentecostal person. Just connect with somebody during a lunch break or break time, and pray for each other, and spur each other on, encourage each other. Say, I think we need to be encouraging each other here in our walk after God. I've even seen people arrive, people that work at GM, people that have arrived early, like 15, 20 minutes early, just to do a quick Bible study together before they start work out in the parking lot. Just to keep each other going, wrapping a community of faith around your life at all times. Friends, I've worked in an office environment. I've worked in the restaurant environment. I've worked in the warehouse environment. How many know a warehouse environment can be sometimes the most demonic environment on the planet? But listen, most every time I have found people of faith that have served to be the greatest resources in my life that I work with. And if you don't have a faith support group of relationships around your life at work, then create one. Create it. Shine Jesus in the lives of people that you work with and just make them disciples of Jesus. Man, I remember I started a warehouse when I worked at a warehouse when I was in college in 1997 in Ohio, and right there in Columbus. And there was nobody, man. It seemed like nobody even had a remotely close type of heart for God. It was just the opposite, man. But I set out on a mission. I'm going to shine the light of Jesus. And I was able to lead two people to Christ in 3 months' time. One of them is still serving God today. 17 years later. I'm telling you, friends, it's very important to understand that one of the greatest weapons we can have as we live our lives after God and His command for our lives is placing a community of faith around your lives at all times. This is so very powerful because creating that community of faith. Watch me now. Hear me right here at this part of this message. If there's any part I want to stick out in your mind, it's right here. Because creating that community of faith around you means you are ignoring the path that leads to spiritual isolation and loneliness. And this, my friend, is one of the most dangerous and poisonous atmospheres that you can place your mind inside of, where you think you can do this by yourself when you can't. You weren't made to. You know, I've served in ministry full-time, at a full-time level for over 15 years now. And I don't say that to say, oh, wow, it's not a lot of time. But that time is time enough to afford me the opportunity to see into the wide variety of problems that plague us as people. And I can tell you with great confidence through my experience, because I love to watch people. How many like to just people watch? Like, go to the mall, you just, like, stare at the weirdos. Like, wow, wonder what that dude's first deal is. Or the airport. I love to study people. I love it. And I love to talk to people. I love to dig into people. I love people. And I can tell you through my experience with people, with great confidence, that there are only a few things that can compare to the damage that spiritual isolation and spiritual loneliness can have, particularly to our faith. I've said this multiple times here at Journey Church. I believe the number one strategy of the devil, the number one strategy of our enemy is this. It's to separate us. Because he knows how powerful we are when we are together. And knowing that, the enemy will use whatever road he has to take you to a place of isolation, of spiritual isolation, a place where you do not have a consistent, faith-filled group of people around your life. It's like this. If I were to take somebody and then say, listen, I need you to live your life for God and the command he has for your life. And then I were to take somebody else and I were to say, here, I need you to live your life after God. And I need you to follow his commands. But then I started to place around you people. I started to place around you people. I started to place around you people that would get around. Come on up on the stage here with me, guys. To set around this person's life. That way this person has a community of faith-filled people. People with faith in their hearts that are here to encourage her on Monday. They're to push her on Tuesday. They're to pray with her on Wednesday. They're to connect with her on Thursday, people to feed her faith compared to the one who thinks they can do it on their own. Now let me ask you this, who's going to make it? Without fail every time, the one who has connected themselves, the one who has created a faith, a community of faith around them. We'll make it. Thank you so much, guys. I want to share some roads quickly that the enemy uses to take us down to a place of spiritual isolation and spiritual loneliness. And it's a road that you may be surprised you often get tempted to walk down. I just want you to be aware of the end of that road. Number one, he uses the road of pride so often to get us down to a place of spiritual isolation and loneliness. You know what I mean when I say pride, right? The I don't need anybody mindset. When the reality is, yes, you do. When the reality is, yes, you do. I know we don't have a lot of time, but man, I love our brother over here. Come here, Morial Ray, real quick. You know, people may get sick and tired of hearing me talk about this church in the mirror. Like, oh, here he goes again. And just this guy too, man. I'm telling you, the story that this guy has in our church is an incredible story. I love this man's story. And if you don't know his story, just wait. He'll end up finding you and tell you his story. That's just who he is. He likes to get his story out. But I want to give like a practical look into his life. I need you to behave now, amen? I can talk to you like this on the stage right now because what are you going to do? There's a bunch of people out here. So listen. Like, this man came to us right from a prison cell, right into the seat. And God told him, after God set him free on the inside, while he was on the inside, the chaplain told him what? You need to get to a church. Why?
He said, if I didn't get to a church, I would never be the man that I am today. That I was in there.
Wow. Because you see where God's wanting you to go with your life and your future, and you realize the cell's not it, right. But there's a greater purpose for you, and the key to unlocking that, he's saying, is you need to get a part of a church. Right. And you've done just that. You've been coming to this church now since February 2010. That's 4 years you've been a part of this church. Now, this blows my mind, right? Because you're not on staff. We don't pay you. But yet you come to our staff meetings. And I don't know why you come. Like, he would come, like, why are you here? You're not a staff person. You know, you just show up. Hey, what's up, guys? Here for staff meeting. And I'm like, this is for staff. But anyway, why do you come to our staff meetings? You just show up, man.
Well, I come to the meetings because I know that guys called me to ministry. And, like, I don't know what ministry's like. So I got to surround myself with people who are in ministry and who know what ministry is. And so in order for me to reach my goal, I have to surround myself with the people who are already there.
You said last service, people that are looking, or like?
That people are looking in the same direction that I'm looking.
Wow. I love that, man. Let me ask you a question. I mean, because you have really gotten to a place where, you know, you see your purpose and you know where God's wanting to take you. Like, God's put it in your heart. God's put it in our heart. You're going to be the pastor of our dream center. And, you know, you lead the recovery area, too, of our church on Monday nights at 6:30. Talk about a faith-filled group of people that can surround your life. If you struggle with addictions, with substance abuse, man, there's a group of people around your life to be a strength. And people have approached you because they don't know your story. Not everybody does, but they'll come to you and say, oh, yeah, people that are struggling with addiction or problems, they'll say, I wish I had what you had. I wish I had a desire to go after God like you have. And you blow them away with your response to that question, that statement. What do you say?
Well, people think just, you know, it's hard for an addict or somebody who's used to doing something for so long to break them habits. So I just tell them, like, you don't think I want to get high? Like, I do. Like, I, you know.
People are like.
Like, right. But you know what I mean? Like, it's certain situations that happen in my life, and the only way that I know that I knew how to deal with it was to get high. So, of course, like, when those situations happen, I want to get high. But I choose not to because I refuse to let people down, like, that trust me. And, you know, that I refuse to let God down. I refuse to let my family down. You know what I mean? So I got to make that next right choice every day. So.
Well, let me ask you this. Like, to do that, though, what important role do we have? Like, because you do surround yourself with us, I mean, all the time. What role do we have? You don't even leave us alone, ever. I mean, I'm telling you. But what role do we have in that?
Well, y'all play a great role because, like when I got out of prison, like, I know that I can't go back to the same place I came from because everybody's doing the same thing. So including a lot of my family. So I had to find a different circle. So like everything that this church had going on, like I was a part of it. You know what I mean? Whether it was, you know, recovery, or whether it was going to pass out flyers, or whether nobody showed up at the recovery meeting, I was down there meeting with the ladies that was quilting. You know what I mean? Just, you know what I mean? Like everything, like I had to just.
Mario rolls up in the quilters group. Hey.
Hey, what's up? You know, hey, you know.
Wow. I think that's just so incredibly incredible, man. And I just want to tell you in front of everybody, I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you, sir. And I am so honored to be able to be a part of your life and help you get where God's wanting you to go. And I know everybody else would say the same thing. Amen. The importance of wrapping a community of faith around you is so important. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, and I want you to hear me in what I just said. I said your enemy. I think sometimes we just blanket that and think he's an enemy. He is your enemy, friends. He is an enemy of your life, your enemy, the devil, and who we wrapped up and really gave light to and highlighted and exposed his intentions for your life, which are found, we said at the beginning of this talk in John chapter 10, verse 10, the devil's intentions for your life are to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Friends, he wants to keep you in isolation. He's an enemy of your life, and he will work to manipulate your life. He will work to manipulate your thoughts and your feelings to get you to think, especially for people that struggle with pride, to get you to think that you are right where you want to be, when in your reality, you are right where he wants you to be. Manipulation is easy. Manipulation is easy. The power to manipulate through mental influence is very easy. It's like that brain games. I think I know the channel now. I think it's the National Geographic channel. Watch it. DVR it, man. It's insane. It's like this. I want you to think of a country. Right now, don't talk to your neighbor or anything about this. Just think of a country right now that starts with the letter D, as in dog. A country that starts with the letter D. I want you to put that in your mind. I'll give you like 5 seconds of Jeopardy. Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. All right. Now, with that country in your mind, what I want you to do is I want you to take the last letter of the name of that country, and I want you to come up with an animal that begins with that letter. Whatever that animal is that begins with that letter. I'll give you just a second. Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. All right, now, with that animal in your mind, I want you to take the last letter of that animal's, the name of that animal, and I want you to come up with a color that begins with that letter. Okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, now, I am confident, pretty confident, that the majority of you have arrived at this color. Now, we're going to sign up for the cult after the service. Amen. Some of you are like, what in the world is this? Somebody in the Wentzville campus goes, what? Oh! Looked at me like I was Jesus, and I was like, yes. I knew it was the color orange. Here's the thing. It's rather easy for the majority of you that got that, right? The majority of you got there. See, if I want to manipulate you to get to the color orange, and I want you to make you think that you chose to get there, that's manipulation. Because the fact of the matter is there's only three countries that start with the letter D. Denmark, which the majority of you thought, Dominican Republic, which maybe a couple of you, and then some country I can't even pronounce, so nobody probably even got that one, right? So, and then obviously K for kangaroo, right? You got koala, and you got a couple other options. But kangaroo with O, and then, right, most of our minds are going to jump to orange. But what I did, the whole point is I made you think you chose your way to get there, when in reality, you were in the manipulative hands of someone else that was trying to get you to that place. You're actually right where I wanted you to be, even though I manipulated you to think that you were choosing to get there. I did this to expose a point. The devil will manipulate your mind. The greatest weapon that he has to work with is the weapon of your thoughts. If he can simply take a thought and manipulate it, if he can get you to think in a certain way, like if a brother or a sister in Christ offends you. Now remember, our enemy wants nothing more than to what? Divide us. To separate us, right? Because together we are a force so powerful that I believe it's Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 says that when we are together as the church, we are so powerful, the gates of hell cannot even stop our attacks. We are that powerful together. But if a brother or sister in Christ offends you, and how many know that happens regularly? And don't look at me strange, because I know you offend me and I offend you, right? We offend each other regularly. Why? Because we are all jacked up people. We all sin. We all mess up. We all fail. We all have something called, here, everybody clap on the count of three. One, two, three. Flesh. We all have it, and it all messes up at times. And if he can get you to get offended, if he can work with a thought when someone offends you, particularly a brother or sister in Christ, if he can take that thought and work with it and add to it and then start to play into your conscience and start to put assumptions on it. Somebody offends you and say, can't believe they did that. Why did they do that? You start stewing on that thought. You start building a stronghold around that thought. I can't even believe that they did that. Man, who do they think that? Oh, they're probably talking about me right now. Man, they've probably been talking about me to other people. I know that somebody else, so-and-so, was acting a little different about me, probably went over to them. I'll tell you what, man, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, and when I do, I'm going to distance myself from them. Before you know it, you're separating yourself. Or should I say, cutting a person of faith, you know, who is human just like you, who makes mistakes just like you, you are cutting a person of faith away from your life. And you think you arrived there by your own decisions, but really you've been manipulated by a thought that the devil put there to get you to where he wanted you to get at all times. That's why we have to forgive. That's a good place to amen to. That's why we have to forgive. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. I believe we often overlook the power of that verse. When you realize what Christ has forgiven you from. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul even says it to the church at Colossae. Bearing with one another in love. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Now these scriptures are to church people. They're written to the church at Ephesus. They're written to the church, the Colossian church. They're not written to people sitting up in a strip club arguing, right? They're written to the church. Why? Because so often the devil will use the road of offense to accomplish spiritual isolation and loneliness in your life. I can't tell you how many times I see it. It breaks my heart as a pastor to see people think that we're all perfect, and when we screw up or offend somebody, and they end up just disconnecting themselves from person after person after person. And then they end up drowning, man, in spiritual isolation and loneliness. I see it all the time. Don't walk down the road of pride to think you can do this on your own. If you start to think, I don't need somebody, if you think that, you're prideful. And you know I say that in love, but I'm here to point out what we need to fix, man, because I get there at times. If you get offended by somebody something says, guess what? You're human. But forgive. But if you can't forgive, guess what? You are right where he's wanting you to go. For the sake of time, I'm going to wrap this up on this last road right here. This isn't even a word, but I made it up. I call it relatability. Relatability. See, somebody's heard of it. It's not even a word, right? I think we just make these things up sometimes. Relatability. Here's what I mean. You can't relate to these people. They're church people. They're too good. And you're too jacked up. People think that about you. Because you go to a church. That you're too good. I know we say we're all jacked up, but that doesn't mean something to people out there. People think that you're too good for them. People have said it to my wife. I can't relate to her. I mean, I have problems in my life, and I'm sure she doesn't because she's perfect. I just look at her. She glows when she walks, the way she carries her purse, and the way she smiles, and she just worships like she's getting lost, you know? And it's just, wow, she must wake up with angels pulling the blankets off. Not adult angels, baby angels that just sprinkle roses on her and give her everything that she needs, and she high-fives baby angels, and she just loves the Lord so much. I can't relate to somebody like that. Listen, let me be the first to tell you, my wife is not perfect at all. Let me be the first. We already started fighting this morning, so we'll just finish this dog fight when we get home. I'm just kidding. I don't know why I say that stuff. But seriously, she's not perfect at all. I do want to say that. Because, I mean, she said it like, man, I struggle too. Why do you think that I got... What in the world? She told somebody recently, guess what? I don't want to pray every day. People freaked out. The pastor's wife doesn't want to pray every day. Sometimes I struggle to read my Bible every day, she said. Sometimes, you know, I think thoughts that shouldn't be thought. I do things that are wrong. And she started sharing her struggles, man. All of a sudden people are like, man, maybe I can relate to you. And not only can they start to. And they start to grow. When they connect with her. It's like that in this room. In this room are people of faith that are around your life for a reason. Let them in. You can relate to anybody in this room. For people that say you have to go through what I went through to relate to where I'm at, that's a lie. Because I have people tell me all the time. People say, you don't know what I'm going through, so you just ain't gonna get it. Friends, don't believe that lie. Again, that's a lie of relatability. If you think that, you're heading down a road of spiritual isolation and loneliness. I've had people, and the reason I say it's a lie is because I have you guys tell me on the way out the door, thank you so much. Man, you mean so much to my life. Man, you've helped me accomplish this and that and this and that. And I didn't go what you went through. But I love you. And I choose to understand what you're going through and why you made those. I mean, I get it. I don't live your life. But I understand why you made those choices. But guess what? I'm not going to judge you for them, but I'm going to say, "This, let's go here. This is how you get victory through that stuff." How many know the lie of relatability, man, will create spiritual isolation? You need to know this right now. This place right here is filled with people that can relate to where you're at and relate to where you're going, because we're all jacked up people just heading to a perfect God, and it's an incredible journey. We would love to go with you in it. Amen. We would love that. Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm closing. I want to ask the worship team if they would to come. In the Message version, says, be prepared. Let me pull it up in the NIV. Yeah. Be prepared. This is like the armor of God stuff, right? Be prepared. You're up against far more. Listen to the Message version, though. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. How many know that's the truth? So he says, take all the help you can get. Every weapon God has issued. So that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be standing on your feet. Take all the help you can get, though. And take advantage of every weapon. We all know what these weapons are, right? I mean, they're in the other interpretations of the other translations of it. Belt of truth, you know, shoes of peace, shield of faith, right? And so on and so on. I want to say this part right here to that line, every weapon God has issued. I find that a lot of times, because I always think weaponry like, you know, like an arrow or a sword or, you know, like all the descriptions of the armor. But I find that people can be the greatest weapons for my life. People can. like shoes of peace, I find that in people a lot. I get around people of faith. I get around people of peace. And their peace spills off on me, man, when I'm wanting to not be peaceful. I find that the greatest weapons sometimes can be the people that God places around you. Like Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, when I fall, somebody's there to pick me up. God sends a weapon to pick me up. We shared a poll last week, and we asked you to take it. And the question was, how many close friends do you have around your life? And 55% of you said, I have between 1 and 3 close friends in my life. 38% of you said between 4 and 6. So literally, with just those two, 93% of this church says they have between 1 and 6 close friends around their life, in your inner circle. People you confide in, people that confide in you, you spend the majority of your time with, socially. Let me ask you a question. How many of those people in your inner circle, how many of those close friends are people of faith? Think about that. Play just a little softer, guys, for me. Are people of faith? Because it's important that you understand this, that the close friends that you have need to be people. I'm not telling you to, because I see this a lot. I see people come in, you know, church is not in their background, so they come in with a lot of close friends from their past, right? And they just keep that lifestyle. They keep going back. I'm not saying get rid of those friends, but what I am saying is add to your life people of faith. Have them go with you when you go out. People of faith that will be there to encourage you and your life. It's important that you do that, because I see several people not make that decision, and then they end up drowning because they don't have somebody to support them spiritually. Friends, don't believe the lie of loneliness. Loneliness is a dangerous thing altogether, even physically. Like if, you know, not just in a spiritual context, if you're not connecting with anybody, there's danger to that. There were studies that came, medical studies that came out of Harvard, Columbia, UC Berkeley, that says that loneliness, because they've confirmed that loneliness is a lot of cause of sickness, but these studies of those three universities did medical studies that say that loneliness isn't just making us sick, loneliness kills us. Loneliness is a serious health risk. Studies of elderly people and social isolation concluded that those without adequate social interaction were twice as likely to die prematurely. The increased mortality risk of loneliness is compared to that of smoking. And loneliness is twice as dangerous as obesity. Social isolation impairs immune function and boosts inflammation, which can lead to arthritis, type 2 diabetes, and heart disease. Loneliness is literally breaking our hearts. But here's the thing, that's just physical loneliness stats, right? And we all see that danger. But I want to talk about spiritual loneliness. If physical loneliness is that dangerous to our bodies, how dangerous is it then if we don't have people of faith around us, where we are spiritually lonely? What kind of damage can that do to us spiritually? What kind of damage can that do to our faith? Friends, without fail, it does damage at a level that few things can compare to, like I said at the beginning of this talk. Ensure that you have a community of faith around your life. Last week we made the statement that faith makes you unbeatable, right? If faith makes you unbeatable, then ensure that you have people of faith around your faith to support your faith, feed your faith as you head to the dream that God's calling you to go. As a youth pastor, I was a youth pastor for 10 years, and I don't know how many times I said this in almost every youth service, but I would say this to these young people that I would youth pastor. And I said, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. How many know that's true with teenagers? Right? The need for these teenagers to connect with people of faith because we're so moldable. You know, the more I think about that, the more that applies to even adults. The need for us to place people of faith around our lives. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And you know what? When I look around my life and the friends that I've got around my life, I got a great future, man. I got a great future because I put people of faith in my life that are going to be a blessing to my faith in my tomorrow. And I want to close this service here today in a unique way. We've never really closed a service like this, but maybe a few times in our church's history. I just want to close with just a time of prayer and reflection. So I'm going to pray here in just a second. And when I pray, after I pray, I just want to encourage you, if you just want to come and take advantage of this space here and kneel at the platform or the stage and just pray, or even turn in your chair, turn around, get on your knees and pray in your chair, or even just sit in your chair and just pray and reflect. But I want you to pray and reflect about who is around your life and who is not around your life that needs to be around your life. You know, because that can be accomplished in prayer by just asking God, say, show me who I'm supposed to connect with. Show me who I'm supposed to connect my life with. And go connect with them. Sit with them next week when you're here. You know, don't sit next to them and stare at them like a stalker and be like, hey, I'm supposed to be your community of faith. You know, don't do that. But just, you know, just find out where they serve and go serve with them. That sounds kind of stalkerish, but where they serve, you know? But just seriously, just go serve where they serve. Go be a blessing to them. That's what we want to be to each other, isn't it? We want to be an encouragement to each other's faith. And you're going to get that through connecting. Go to a small group, friends. We got small groups. Go on our church app, man, and just look and see all the events that we got. I'm telling you, everything that we have. Just be a part of it. Serve. I'm telling you, it's a powerful thing. Start connecting with people at your work, people of faith. I want you to pray about that here. Just take a couple minutes before you go and just pray while we worship. And maybe even pray about who you're supposed to be a support for. I'm telling you, the people I've been a support for, they've actually ended up becoming a support for me just as much. Let's just allow God to make those connections. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much just for who you are, God, and for the fact that you've called us all to be here as your church. And Lord, I pray that we would start to connect with each other. Lord, I pray that we would become an enemy of disconnect. God, that we would not allow disconnect to happen in our lives, but Lord, that we would connect with other people, people of faith. And Lord, there may be even people in this room today that may even be struggling with an offense that a brother or sister in Christ did in their life. I pray, Lord, that they would just reach in. Lord, see in their faith what you have done for our lives. You've forgiven us, God, and that forgiveness would just come out, God, and that they would reconcile that offense. And Lord, draw close together so that we can be the body of Christ that you've called us all to be. Lord, I just pray that unity and connection and the fact that we would create a community of faith would be accomplished in our time here at this church. And especially, God, as we pray and just reflect in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Journey Church. Please come and take advantage of this space. Take advantage of your seat as we just worship. We love you so much. We look forward to seeing you right back here next weekend. Amen.